If you would all kindly turn to the, I know it's one of your probably more favorite books of the Bible. I'm sorry, you probably know it by heart verbatim, but turn to Zephaniah 1. Today's message is advancing the church. Zephaniah is one of the minor prophets. We will go to chapter 1. It's right after Habakkuk. The Anointed Bible is 940. Oh, that, if it's your Anointed Bible, yeah. Zephaniah 1, verses 4 through 7 says, "And I will stretch out my hand," this is the Lord God Almighty saying, "I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who live in Jerusalem. I will cut off from this place every remnant of Baal, the names of the pagan and the idolatrous priest, those who bow down on the roofs to worship the starry host, those who bow down and swear by the Lord and who swear by Moloch, those who turn back from following the Lord and neither seek the Lord nor inquire of him. Be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice, and he has consecrated those he has invited." I have been thinking since the last presbytery meeting about streams and what streams is going to look like, and where I believe God is leading streams in the future. And I believe that for us as believers, we need to understand that it has been mandated from heaven, even from the Old Testament, through Christ, who fulfilled the law, that the church must be advancing. Okay? And what has happened with us is we have been advancing spiritually, and we have been taking baby steps into this warfare. And by that, I'm saying that the warfare with the men, when we were out in Pittsburgh, we went to Planned Parenthood abortion mill, and we were out there as a witness against the Baal worship and the worship of Moloch in offering up children, innocent children, to a spirit of death. And Satan hates that. Satan hates the exposure. He hates those who would live godly and live righteously. And what I want to get us to begin to start thinking in these weeks as we're preparing for next year is to think, what is it that God has been speaking to you and your part in promoting streams and the cause of Jesus Christ into the community? Because all of us, God is speaking something. And it's okay to say, I'm really not sure what God is saying to me, but I'm writing these things down. It's real important that each and every one of us is here, not just by accident, that God has a plan for us. And as a shepherd, I am always looking to see what God is leading us to. And as we go, preparation is being made and exercise to carry out those things are happening. Zephaniah prophetically is speaking of the condition of a society that looks good on the outside but is eradicating and rotten on the inside. And we are in that society today. I listened to a message by Pastor Ron Johnson, and it really has convicted me to a point of being even more proactive in our community, that the church must be the moral consciousness of society. And he started it off by showing a small film clip of a church that was founded in 1827 and closed its doors in 1957. And today it is a museum of its history because it had not stayed concurrent in its vision and in its purpose to advance the cause of Jesus Christ. And because of it, it now becomes a monument, not a living testimony. And so my hope and desire for Streams is that we don't just become a monument, that we become a living testimony. And in being a living testimony, the resistance of what we are facing is now at our doorstep. And if you read the rest of Zephaniah, God accuses those who were not willing to step across the threshold. In other words, they were not willing to take the stand and step into righteousness, into society, because it was safer behind the four doors. And those of us understand that what it's going to take to shake and shape this society is going to take radical men to begin to take their radical position in Jesus Christ. Let me expound on what Zephaniah was talking about. He was talking about an ever-increasing, pluralistic, multi-ethnical, multicultural, diverse, perverse, openly pagan, secular society. And we have that today. We have people in the pulpit who are preaching about God and living like hell after everyone leaves the church. We have people who believe that astrology, those who worship the heavens and stuff, not astronomy, astrology or horoscopes, is the way to find out your purpose and plan for God, which isn't an abomination to God. God will tell you what is coming in your life. You don't need the stars to tell you. And to worship that and bow down to that is what our society is all about. We have psychics that are running around finding things for people, talking about stuff, but yet do not talk about Jesus Christ. We have television shows that are promoting witchcraft, casting spells, Harry Potter nonsense. I have a niece that we had gone to the movies one day, and her daughter was dressed as one of these students from Hogwarts school of I don't even know what they call it. Wizardry, yes. All of this is to anesthetize the Christians of who they are and to accept that baloney as normal. That is not normal, church. And Zephaniah was chastising the religious and political leaders of that day because the church had not stepped up and confronted that as wickedness. And so God spoke and gave a warning that he was going to stretch out his hand. When he stretches out his hand, it is to bring judgment upon the land. And we as a nation, we as an individual, as a church, and as a nation are not exempt from God's spanking. Because it also tells us that those who turn from following the Lord, that neither seek the Lord nor inquire of him, these are those who have been backslidden, those who have progressed only so far in God, those who have retreated from their responsibility before the living God to stand for righteousness and to be a light for the world. The people of Judah and Jerusalem were a people that were led by a corrupt and perverse priesthood who essentially had sold their souls to the spirits of power and lust. They were people that were being led, the people of God, into rebellion or sin. And isn't that what we have today? We have churches promoting health, wealth, and prosperity and not talking about the need to repent of your own sins, let alone going out to the sinners and telling them judgment is coming. We have politicians who are promoting the state's responsibility via a social gospel That it is the state's responsibility to take care of people, when it is the church's responsibility to inform the people to trust in God and His provision, of which some of that may come from government. But it is not government's primary responsibility to take care of the people. It is God's. And Zephaniah was really taken by this because of the secularism of a society and the anesthetizing the thought processes and the courage of God's people. We think everything's okay because it's not visiting our doors. Well, the truth of it is that we have to cross the threshold and get into society. You look at Jesus' life, and He caused a stir everywhere He went. He challenged the religious leaders against their traditions. They valued the traditions more than they valued the Word of God. They emphasized the religiosity of the day. And then Zephaniah was saying, not only were they worshiping the living God, but they incorporated the paganism of Baal worship and Moloch, the worship of Moloch and all other false gods into that service, thereby making the worship of the living God idolatrous. And that is why God says, you know, your sacrifices don't mean anything to me. Your way of life doesn't mean anything to me because you are polluted inside. You have compromised yourselves to a place that all this is but stench to me. There is no purity, no holiness, no righteousness. And Zephaniah was being used at this. Today, many believers have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. They do religious things, but only in doing those religious things do they fail to understand that in doing the religious exercises, they are separating themselves further from God, not coming closer to Him. I have to attend this meeting. You don't have to do anything unless the Spirit of God stirs you. Now hear me, when the leadership is planning an event, and I've only put two criteria on the church, Williamstown Day and the Christmas. That's when the church should come together and serve the community. We need to be more proactive in our community, not less active. They need to see us. And for the last couple of years, when I talk about streams, I brag on what God is doing with us because you guys are there. You guys have been there. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in there. They see you. They begin to look for you. They begin to recognize you to the place that, you know what, we're opening up doors through our humble service to which will open up doors for us to bring righteousness back into these areas, which will open up doors for us to share Jesus Christ and win people who have fallen away from Him. Advancing the church is more than just inviting people to a social gathering. It's more than that. Advancing the church is understanding that when we gather, the purpose for us to gather is to establish amongst ourselves and manifest the glory, the power, the unity, and love of God. And then take that to the highways and byways. We get beat up all week. We come back, we get edified, we get encouraged, and we become empowered again to go back out there and continue to war against unrighteousness and wickedness. But the church has lost that vision. The church has not stood. The church has won a battle, has not stood to win the war. Jesus has won the war. He expects us to do the mop up and clean up of everything, which means that we must stay the course, ever present, expanding the kingdom of God. Now, in understanding this, that this is what the church is supposed to look like. that we're supposed to be this local work of manifesting God, I think we have a core that does that. And I believe God has been so gracious to us in developing that core. You may not feel like that, and it has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do by spirit. You are important to God, thereby you're important to me. And as a shepherd, it's my job to motivate and encourage you that where you are in God today, you're not going to be there next week, next month, next year. We're all going to say, and this too shall pass, because it does. It passes. But we need to continuously take those steps of faith to advance the kingdom of God, whether it's advancing in purchasing a home. Now to expand that and have a vision is, God, we have a home. How can we serve in this capacity? Getting a new job. How does that work in working with our budget and giving to you, God? Because the idea here is, I see what you're doing here, God. I see what you're doing in my family. How can I be even used even more? I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that I had talked a year ago about getting involved with the business people. And I got a nugget. Instead of visiting all the businesses, the nugget was, go to the Chamber of Commerce and deal with them. And tell them what the vision of God is. Because businessmen understand vision. They understand causes. They understand these things. What they don't understand is why they're being persecuted for making money. Why is it so wrong for them to make money? My Bible tells me it's not wrong. What tells me what's wrong is the heart condition of earning those things. If we hold on to those things that are not of God, God will not funnel more to us until we learn to release. And these men and women who earn businesses and earn vast amounts of money are the conduits of which God wants to use to funnel those monies into the kingdom so that we can win more souls. And that's what's called building the church of Jesus Christ, is winning souls. And I don't know about you, but I want to see what God wants Streams to be. I believe Streams is going to be a multi-ethnical, multicultural, multi-economically diverse church. I believe this with all my heart and soul. I wouldn't be in it if I didn't believe it. Of which, this is just the foundation for us. But we need to maintain our purity and righteousness in Jesus Christ. We need to repent and make good as to what we have done wrong. Because the longer we maintain our pride and arrogance, the harder it is for us to reclaim those areas in which we lost. That's why I'm real quick when something's brought to me or God has convicted me, man, I repent, get it under the blood, and move on, because I don't want anything to stop what God is doing with us. It is so hard to gain momentum, but when you have it, it is so easy to lose it. And we are gaining momentum, church. The object of this multiplicity of the church is to understand that as we win these people to Jesus Christ, they themselves can go back to their groups and win their own people. Whether they're black, white, yellow, green, orange, Martian, whatever. I don't care. As long as they get saved and are growing and becoming disciples of Jesus Christ, that's all I care about. It's not that I don't care about the problems that the church is facing or the individuals who are struggling. All I do care. And God cares. But He wants us to begin to grab a hold of something that is greater and more pronounced than just our little situations. And Zephaniah was pointing this out. We need to understand that as we grab a hold of things and we commit ourselves to winning souls. Well, Pastor, I'm not an evangelist. But we're all commissioned to evangelize. If you just win one person to Christ this year, we can double in size. That double in size will almost meet the budget that God is speaking to my heart. And we can work that project over there and have it completed even quicker. And as we gain momentum, we increase quicker. What do you think is going to happen? There's more funds being funneled into the kingdom of God to win souls. And that's what's important. That's what God wants us to understand. It's not whether the pastor gets paid. God has made me a tent maker, just like Paul. I get paid, and I utilize that as a means to push in as much money that God is funneling into my life, into this fellowship, so that it can continue to grow and expand. That should be our heart's desire, not to give only the minimum of the 10%, which is God's already. And those who have gone through the financial teaching understand that's just the beginning, because we have not even planted seed for our return, of which we will do. There are things coming that I feel is important to streams getting to that next level for us as a fellowship to grow and getting to that next level. And that's going to require a deeper commitment to our finances, which means that we pay off those things. And as we pay those things off, we funnel more into the kingdom. God is not against us having nice things. What he's against is us having nice things at the expense of expanding the kingdom, because our hearts are not right. When we went out to Pittsburgh, the thing that I saw was that those who had gone to Band of Brothers last year with all the euphoria and stuff, and you have to see the bigger picture of what God's doing. For 2 years previous to that, I had been praying in earnest to connect, because I was starting to sense in my spirit an anxiousness that I was getting weird. And some of the guys knew, because I was sharing that to a lesser degree, not to let them think that I was getting weird. But the revelation that God was giving me at that time was so intense that it was like, I don't have anybody to bounce this stuff off. I need accountability, but I'm not just going to be accountable to anybody. I want to be accountable to people who love God, who have the same vision and same purpose, that can help me and help us become successful. And God did that. And to a man, because I had asked him, I said, don't get excited about what's going on. Pray about if this network is where God wants us to be. And to a man, said, this is where we believe God said to be. Because I had already known that God spoke to me the first night that this is where we were to be. God led us to a place that there are men who have not only the same vision, but are committed to our success. Because our success breeds more success for the network, expands the kingdom of God. But it's going to require us to grow up and put away childish things. It's going to require us to reevaluate and refocus where we are today and where God wants us to be tomorrow. And I'm not saying that where you guys are at and is wrong, but God has something greater for you. Just like the women's tea. It doesn't matter how we struggled to get through this thing. What matters is it was accomplished and it was a success. You see, the week previous to going out to Pittsburgh this year, the heat started being turned up on all of us. The week that we were out there, it really hit the fan. And last week, which was up till Saturday, there was so much fur flying that we were wondering if we were even progressing, because we were doubting, did God want us to do this? Did God? And I just kept on saying, this is God. Why? Why could I say that this was God? Because of all the activity that had been coming. The enemy was resisting us, and I think the church now understands that when we take a stand for righteousness and we expose the works of the devil, something's going to give back. He doesn't fight fair. He hates what you and I represent. He hates what you're going to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Correct. And Zephaniah was exposing this. Our guys out there, one out there with an express purpose of tooling up for ministry. I was surprised at how many speakers that these guys were in that I was in. They weren't looking to be a bless me type of thing. They were looking, God, what is it that you want me to do and what tools do I need? And they were in those tooling sessions. They began what I see is having a building mentality for the church, which blesses me because the enthusiasm. I mean, last year we were enthusiastic until about an hour before we got home. We were all just tired. We were talking about what God was doing all the way home. We were talking about it the next morning. I mean, God is awesome. And we need to seize those opportunities as prime time things because we don't know how many more of those we're going to have, especially with this government hating God and hating what we stand for. The resistance is purely demonic in nature, and people are willing to do whatever they need to do to press forth their agenda, not the agenda of the kingdom. God has a greater purpose for us. And the purpose for us is to begin to get into the highways and byways, looking for opportunities to serve. And it blessed my heart that Dory had gone to the meeting for Parks and Rec, and she's thinking about getting involved in Parks and Rec. You may not be called to get involved in Parks and Rec, but what about PTA? What about Girl Scouts and Cub Scouts, sporting events? You know, these are all grassroots things that we can get involved in. And don't use those things as a means to just look at it as babysitting, but look at it as means to develop a relationship and a rapport with people to find out where they are and begin to relate. You know, parents want the same thing. They want their kids to have fun and they want them safe. God wants the same thing. And right now, we are in a minefield. God wants to blow up men. God wants to blow them up so much so that they become the warriors that he has created them to be. But Satan wants to blow men up too. He wants to blow them to smithereens. He wants to make them fragmented and useless. He wants to do the same thing with single women and women in a whole. He wants to destroy the youth, and he is working overtime to destroy the youth. He wants to destroy marriages, and the stress and strain that is upon married couples today is worse than it was when Irene and I had gotten married. It's more intense. The pressures are such that I can't understand how people can live out there in society without Jesus Christ, because I have a peace that I know that all things are going to work out for the good because I love God and are called according to his pleasure. And so are you. So are you. We got people going to church doing the religious activities because that's all they know. And as we see, that religious activity only separates you from God. The days are dark and the hour is late. Jesus is on his way to come and get the church. But I believe that in the darkness of this hour, that this is the finest time for the church to arise. I believe that we're going to take off the basket and we're going to let our light shine. I believe that we are going to be challenged like never before, but I believe that the harvest that God is going to give us is going to be tremendous. And I believe that started when I said, "Yes, Lord." When I said, "Yes, Lord," 15 years ago, when he called me to build another church, what am I going to say? No. I love God, and I love what he has done for me, and I love what seeing what God is doing in your lives. And I love hearing the, you know, not only the struggles, but the victories that you guys are getting through Him. I love it. And the world needs to hear that. The world needs to, you know, we busy ourselves with things that are not consequential. And the thing that we have to understand is that we, like Peter, need to start stepping out of the boat and not worry about if all our ducks are in a row and all these other things. And hear me, I'm not talking about us doing due diligence, like what we're doing with the property. But I'm saying, you know, sometimes we just need to get out of our rut and do what it is that God has already instructed us and wonder, is that you, God? Is that really you, God?
Yes, it's me, and I've been waiting here for 2 years for you to just step out of the boat. It's going to be okay because you're not going to sink. I have you in my hand.
Nolan's taking a step of faith. Doesn't matter what anybody's opinion is. It matters that he's stepping out because why? He understands that his schedule right now is in conflict with the kingdom. And he wants his schedule to flow in the kingdom. What are we doing in the situation that we're at? Are we just satisfied where we are? Or are we making excuses that we're waiting for something wonderful to happen? I have to tell you, church, that God is going to challenge us to take the steps required to double our size, and I believe He wants to quadruple our size this coming year. But it starts with us asking, inviting, and speaking to those people that God has called us to do. It is no longer being silent about wickedness and evil. It is exposing it. And understanding that as we step out and expose wickedness, there will be retaliation. We are in a warfare. We are in a warfare. If that means we're going to lose our jobs, then that's what it means. But we are building a church that will support. We are part of a network that will support. We're going to lock arms with one another. I am committed to you. Jesus Christ is committed to you, to your success and to your family's success. You have to believe that. If you don't believe that, I don't know what you believe then, because that's what the gospel is about. We can't fail, church. We won. We won. Through Jesus Christ, who leads us into all victory. If we can understand the nature of the church, and the nature of the church is us to gather together, to edify and build each other up, and exhibit the glory, the mercy, the unity, the holiness and righteousness, and the love of God, that's only part of it. And we've been doing that and struggling with it. But you know what? We have been advancing line upon line, precept upon precept. But the purpose of the church is not to sit behind the four walls. The purpose of the church is not to run a blind eye to wickedness. The purpose of the church is no longer to stand silently and allow society to become so depraved and decadent that, what happened, God? When He has placed the responsibility on all of us to be a consciousness to society, whether it's to our local government, whether it's to our state government, or whether it's to a national government, we are responsible. And the church is about to arise and shine. God is about ready to take us to the next level. We must not give up. It is dark, but I'm telling you, it's going to get brighter. It's going to get better for us. We're going to have more people, but we're also going to have more work. God is going to give to us because we have declared that we're going to stand for Him. No matter what comes our way, no matter what pushes against us, no matter who resists us. They're not resisting us. They're resisting our Father who loved them and died for them. And they need to hear it and see it in its actions. Are you with me, guys? Do you understand how important it is for us to take our place. Do you understand how important it is that Father wants the church to not be a black church, not to be a white church? That's an abomination to God. Because my Bible says they came from every tongue, every tribe, every kindred. And we've only got the start of it. Wait till we have people from every nation. Because the vision that God has for me is when we go to missions, we put a flag up. We've been there and we name that country and claim that country in the name of Jesus. And as we continue to go out and people come, we'll put their flags of nationalities up in the, you know, I just see us declaring that for streams, the glory of God is through all the world. And the nations God is going to bring unto Him one more time. How nice it would be for Him to bring all the nations under His banner, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where we're going. But I need you guys, and you guys are beginning to start stepping up into understanding the immensity. Because this, you know, if I could do it myself, I would do it. But this is a God thing that He's birthed. I can't do it by myself. I need God and I need you guys to help me. And if I don't accomplish that, at least you have a starting point that you don't have to do this stuff anymore. You can take it from there and go with it until Jesus comes back. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You for the prophet Zephaniah who has convicted us, Lord. Has convicted us, God, that the Church of Jesus Christ in America has not stood up. We have had pockets of resistance through the years, God. But God, You are raising up a body of resistors. Lord, give us the courage. Grant us the opportunities. And supply us with everything that we need, God, to do this mop-up job that Jesus has won the victory for. Help us to value people more than things and position and power, God. Help us to speak the truth, but speak it in love. Help us to be the ambassadors that You have called us to be, God. And help us to be the farmers who are diligently watering, planting, and bringing in the harvest. God, we need You more than ever in this hour. And we cry out, we need Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.